This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, it's Melissa Benishai, CEO and co-founder Baked by Melissa. I'm thrilled to be partnering with Blue Apron to bring you simple, delicious meals for tired parents with ingredients delivered right to your door, like a beautiful rainbow crunch salad with my miso vinaigrette. They're easy to make, they're loaded with fresh vegetables, and you don't need a subscription to order. Get 35% off your first order at Blue Apron with promo code Melissa. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more. Love you. Bye.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us here this evening, the eve of President's Day. Welcome to your liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles that drive the Democrats on the Wichita City Council crazy. And I'm happy to do it. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. A couple of events to put on your calendar. The Sedgwick County Republican Party has announced they've got another fundraiser coming up in March, a wine and chocolate event that is coming up on the 26th. There's information on that on the John Whitmer Show and the Sedgwick County GOP Facebook pages. And then we are having our first live remote. We do those, or we're trying to do them quarterly. Once again, they will be at the local offices of Americans for Prosperity Kansas down there at Union Station. This will be broadcast live from the local offices at AFP. It's coming up on the first Sunday in March. So it's Sunday, March 1st. It's our first live remote brought to you by the good folks at Save Taxpayers Vote No. So it's the Vote No kind of coalition that has formed. Ironically, they're doing this literally the Sunday before the election.
So it's perfect.
So perfect timing, and we're doing it at AFP. I think there's probably a reason we're doing it there, too.
Well, okay.
They're not known for liking property tax and sales tax increases, so they tend to be low-tax, no-tax people anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a little symbiotic relationship there.
Yes.
But so at any rate, it's our first live remote of the year, broadcasting live from AFP on Sunday, March 1st. So, doors open at 6. AFP is going to do food and refreshments. We'll have our usual crew there, including Dion Leffler, mm-hmm. who I can't fight with him over this, though, because he's also against it.
Also in agreement, yeah.
Yeah, but then again, we're all communists, if you ask the folks at Wichita Forward, so go figure. But your calendar.
Definitely encourage folks.
Yeah.
It's a great venue. And
we have a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Great talk amongst everyone that's there.
They're always a blast.
I would encourage people to go.
Yeah, they're always fun. We usually get a good crowd, 30, 40, 50 people. The last one was a biggie, so we're working on the guests right now, but Mark mark your calendars Sunday, March 1st for our live remote at AFP. Tonight, in the meantime, Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will break down the Bad Bunny Super Bowl debacle, which I didn't watch. I watched the Turning Points show. Zach Anderson from BNSF Railway. Tell us about a major railroad merger that's been proposed between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. I'm not a big fan of mega merger conglomerates. It's fairly antitrust. I imagine he may be of the same mindset. We'll find out. Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will explain why he says some are using scare tactics and false claims to oppose the Senate's property tax assessment limit. That's the 3% proposal in the state Senate. And Representative Leo Delperdang will bring us this week's Under the Dome update from Topeka. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we've got a jam-packed show tonight, and we always take your calls. So 316-869-1330. But before that, settle in, because I want to tell you about something that happened this week. It happened on Thursday night. The Sedgwick County Republican Party met. And obviously, we all know what's coming up on the ballot. We've got the $1 billion sales tax that's coming up on the ballot. And last week, the Sedgwick County Republican Party unanimously approved a resolution urging Wichitans to vote no on the 1% city sales tax. And just so you know, it's hard to get 100 Republicans or 100 Democrats or 100 anybody's to unanimously agree on anything. But that's not what happened on Thursday. They didn't somewhat oppose or, you know, have somewhat expressed mild concern or tweak it. Unanimous. They unanimously opposed the sales tax. It was voice vote, but there was no, you know, no, me. It was unanimous. Precinct committee people, the grassroots, the boots on the ground, the folks that do the work, the men and women you elected to represent Republican voters stood up and said, enough is enough. And let me be crystal clear about something. The resolution didn't come from leadership. It didn't come from me or Kim Gish or Brian Fry or Genevieve. It didn't come from some backroom strategy session. It came from a precinct person. They wrote it. They crafted it. And from the bottom up, from the people, the voice was heard. Because when you're talking about a $1 billion tax increase that disproportionately affects the poor, folks on, you know, fixed income, retirees, the people have something to say. And at least for Republicans, they said, hell no. Now, what did the resolution specifically cite? Well, first, it cited the rushed vote to slap this thing on the ballot, limited public forums, limited input, no opportunity to amend the projects, no transparency, no opportunity to prioritize. Just here it is. Shove it down your throat. Take it or leave it. That's not deliberation. That's not democracy. That's not transparency. That's not conservative governance. Excuse me. And it's certainly not conservatism, and it's certainly not good governance. It's a sales pitch. In this case, it's a sales pitch by three rich guys downtown trying to make a buck off of the rest of us. Second off, the sheer scale of the spending. This is not a small adjustment. This isn't tightening their belts or trying to find efficiency reform. This is a $1 billion expansion of government. And our party platform is very clear. It says local governments must recognize that prosperity is best achieved when economic resources remain in the hands of the people. Government shouldn't constrain spending, or rather should constrain spending before increasing taxes. Folks, this is not radical. It's basic economics. You know how to better spend your money than the city does. And you can't tax and spend your way to prosperity. If that works, California would be a conservative paradise. Now, before our meeting, we invited Wichita Forward to come and defend their plan. We reached out, we scheduled, and we arranged for Ben Davis to speak, and he confirmed. And then, a little over an hour before the meeting started, he bailed. Now, I don't know about you, but if I believed in something strongly enough to ask people to give me $1 billion, I'd probably show up and defend it. But apparently, the sales pitch only works when the audience can't ask questions. And here's the thing. Even if you think there are elements inside this ordinance that sound appealing, and yes, there are shiny projects in there, we all recognize the basic truth. Lipstick on a pig is still a pig, and that white speck on the top of bird poop is still bird poop. You can't wrap it in renderings. You can't put a glossy mailer. You can't hire consultants, and you can't buy ads. But at the end of the day, it's still a massive tax increase. And let's talk about a word, tax, that second word, tax there. Ronald Reagan once said the taxpayer, that's someone who works for the federal government but doesn't have to take the civil service exam. He also said the nearest thing to eternal life will ever be seen on this, on the earth, is government program, because government never dies. My personal favorite is government does not tax to get the money it needs. Government always finds a need for the money it gets. And that's exactly what this is. We're told this is about growth. We're told this is about investment. We're told this is about the future. But conservatives understand something fundamental. Government doesn't create prosperity. People do. Small businesses do. Families do. Entrepreneurs do. Workers do. And every time you tack another penny onto every dollar spent in this city, you're tacking more economic freedom out of people's hands and out of the people who create jobs. And let's be honest, a sales tax hits hardest on who? Low-income families, seniors on fixed income, working-class folks, Joe Lunchpail, who don't have accountants to structure their purchases. That extra 1% isn't theoretical, it's real. If this were framed as a corporate tax cuts, they'd be holding candlelight vigils. But $1 billion sales tax that disproportionately impacts lower income Wichitans, and we hear crickets. So listen, I love economic development as much as anybody, but economic development built on permanent tax increases is not development, it's dependency. And that's why the Republican principles are not situational. They're not flexible when it's convenient. They don't disappear when a consultant shows up, or in this case, doesn't show up, with a PowerPoint. You don't campaign on limited government and then vote for a $1 billion expansion of it. And I can already hear it. Well, John, you're against everything. No, I'm not. But we're against the process. We're against the scale. And we're against the philosophy that says that answer to every challenge is more government revenue. Conservatives aren't anti-growth. We aren't anti-waste. We aren't anti-rush. We're against ramming through a $1 billion decision without proper vetting. And here's what really sticks in my craw. The idea that if you oppose this tax, you're somehow anti-Wichita, anti-progress, anti-future, or better yet, you're a communist. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back in just a minute. And, of course, here we go. We're going to talk about trains. But we'll take a quick break, and Zach Anderson from BNSF Railway will tell us about a major railroad merger that has been proposed between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern that would create the nation's first coast-to-coast freight rail system. Sounds like a good idea, but then again, so does a $1 billion tax increase. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Folks, 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, by the way, pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Kansas deserves a voice in judicial selection. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or want more information, visit takebackthebench.com for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, a major railroad merger has been proposed between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern that would create the nation's first coast-to-coast freight rail system. It's many people worried. Critics and state attorneys general, including Attorney General Kobach, say the combined company would control a large share of U.S. rail traffic. With us now to kind of give us their perspective, his perspective on it, is Zach Anderson. He's VP of Communications for BNSF Railway. Zach, thanks for joining us this evening.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So I know Kansas relies heavily on rail to move grain and fertilizer, fuel, and manufactured goods. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen, you know, parts of Boeing planes or Spirit, you know, Boeing planes going out of Wichita. This combined Union Pacific Norfolk Southern rail, if I looked at it right, it looks like it could control more than 40% of U.S. rail freight. Is that right?
Oh, that's right, John. It's the unprecedented concentration in one industry that we've never seen before, in an industry that's already relatively concentrated with four major players in the U.S.
How would, I mean, first off, is, I mean, I guess there's got to be some antitrust. I would think that, doesn't this like raise red flags somewhere, antitrust possibilities here?
Well, here's the interesting thing about freight rail mergers, John, of this size. They don't go through the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice can comment, but their comments are non-binding. The regulatory process is actually something called the Surface Transportation Board. It's a federal agency that's independent. And so they take a look at the application, the members of the STB, and they determine whether or not this is a go. And if so, if there should be any concessions with it based on the harm it does to competition.
Do I even want to ask who's on that board and how they get there? Or is it one of those type of things where, you know, the nepotism of the guy that used to work for the railway that's now on the board? I mean, please tell me it's not that kind of corruption.
It is not that at all.
Okay.
The chairman of the board, a guy from South Dakota named Patrick Fuchs, he's a very learned guy. He takes his job very seriously. And as we saw right out of the gate, you know, the merger was initially rejected, or the application was rejected for the merger. So the first step blew up on the launch pad.
Okay, good.
Now I mean, they have to reapply.
Because I would be afraid that this would lead to higher prices, less reliable service. I would think that farmers in particular would... I mean, just because my fear is that this would just the implications for business and consumers is what I would be afraid of.
You're exactly right, John. You put your finger right on it. This proposed merger poses substantial risk for not only freight rail customers, but really for American families by further concentrating market power in, like I said, an industry that already has limited competitive options. So, you know, past experiences with major rail consolidations have shown that you have a rail merger this big, and this one will be the biggest ever. It leads to service disruption, pricing concerns,
right,
fewer choices for customers, and ultimately cost pressures that raise prices for consumers.
It reminds me somewhat of, you know, some of the complaints that people have with their like the utilities, with their, you know, with my gas and my electric, where people say, man, I wish I had competition because and they don't, obviously. You know, I got no choice. I've got to have Evergy, or I've got to have whoever's providing my electric bill. And I think to myself, wow, if I could have competition, maybe it would lower energy prices. Well, this is the same fear. If I've got to ship with X railway, well, then I've got to pay their rates because there's nobody else I can use. And so doesn't this reduce competition and then thereby threaten local economies?
Absolutely. Essentially, you're going from four major players to two overnight. Because currently, if you're shipping from Kansas, you can put it on UP, you can put it on BNSF, and then when it gets to the east, you have two railroad choices there with Norfolk Southern and CSX. If this happens, you pretty much got two. Either you get on UP or you get on us to, you know, a less competitive option in the east all of a sudden. So if you think about it this way, if there are destinations from Kansas today, and there are, that we interchange with Norfolk Southern, you know, we hand it off in Chicago or Memphis, somewhere like that, that goes away the minute this merger goes through. That'll never happen again.
Does this
now,
also
claim that they'll keep those? Okay, go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say, is there a chance this also affects jobs? Because typically you have something like this, people are going to lose their jobs as they consolidate.
Absolutely. They're already, you know, they don't need two headquarters.
Right.
So there's significant job loss right there. Now, they've made promises for their unionized workers, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding, right? You know, so far it's a two-page MOU saying if you have a job, the day this merger goes through, you'll continue to have a job. But there's no other detail with that. So to the degree they can hold that up, who knows?
Well, yeah, and that may be, well, you have a job, but you have to move. You have to. I mean, that's,
yeah,
so,
that's exactly right.
Right.
And, your job's now in Fargo, North Dakota.
Exactly.
Tomorrow.
Right. You have a job, but you're going to have to move. And oh, and we're not going to cover that moving expense, or we'll give you X, but X may not cover it. And of course, you just left your family, your friends, and you know your dog Biff or whatever back at home, and that's the issue. And I mean, this
absolutely
is
absolutely that's the risk.
Right. Exactly. If people have concerns, if this is an issue, and I think it actually should be, not especially if you have a small business, or if you're doing, you know, if you have something that involves this type of interstate shipping in any way. But if people have concerns, if it's something that people go, wait a minute, this is an issue for me, what do? Do they reach out to their congressman? It's not really a state rep issue. It'd be more like a congressional issue, wouldn't it? But what do they do? Joe Lunchpail do about this?
No, you're absolutely right. I would reach out to a member of Congress, but the state legislators and the governor also have a say. They can make their voice heard in this and participate in the process. And if they want to send a letter to the STB saying, hey, we think this is a bad idea, they should do that too.
And is that really the best way to do that? I mean, if they wanted to contact somebody, how would they do that? What's the best way for them to do that?
I would start with your congressional representatives because they'll be the most help there. But if you go to the U.S. Surface Transportation Board website, you know, just Google it, it'll pop up, and it's very straightforward on how you can file a letter in this case.
U.S. Transportation Board website. Zach, I appreciate you taking the time and joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's a great story, and I'm glad that you brought it, because I don't think most people were aware of it. And you're right. The implications, this is why we have antitrust policies.
Exactly.
Is to prevent this kind of stuff.
That's exactly right, sir.
Well, and once again, you know, our attorney general trying to weigh in and prevent this kind of stuff. Zach, I appreciate you joining us this mm-hmm. evening. Thank you, my friend.
No, thank you. Have a great evening.
Coming up, State Representative Leo Delperdang will bring us this week's Under the Dome update from Topeka. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
Hey, you know, Phil, I listened to that Woodward and Witt show. That's a pretty good show.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I just had to plug it. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. And I got to say, I got to be honest with you, I don't mind that we're off tomorrow morning and I don't have to get up at 3:45.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
Yeah, that's still not quite used to that. And I've been doing it for almost 2 months now. Remind you to stay up to the minute, stay informed with up to the minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And of course, you can always listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And while you're online, like and follow the Facebook True Social pages and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, as we do, both on Woodward and Witt now, we do that on Monday mornings, but we have a lengthier segment here on Sunday nights. We do our Under the Dome update. And with us this evening is my old buddy from the fire pit, Leo Delperdang, Representative Delperdang. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, John. Good evening to all the listeners out there.
By the way, he brought in a very interesting red hat this evening.
This is the one time I wish we had the video cameras in here.
Yes.
Because I love this hat.
I do too. And, well, just careful what you wish for. We are getting cameras in the studio. Breaking news. Yes, we are getting cameras. In the KNSS, we are going to, by the way, we are going to start streaming the studio.
That means I'm going to have to comb my hair and dress up a little when I show up.
I'm going to have to shave.
Me and my big mouth.
Yeah, we're getting studios. We will store, we will have cameras in the studio. You, however, will get, unless you want it.
As producer, it won't be aimed at me.
It will not be aimed at you, although on Sunday nights we can turn it.
Because, well, that's true. Yeah.
Jad does not want to be on camera.
No.
However, can, because we can turn it for you.
I've been told I have a face for radio as well.
That's what I was just going to say. I've got a real good face for radio.
But on this side of the table, we have Ted and I will have it on it. But yes, we will have that. We're working on that now. Okay. Much like we've got the new TV here for the traffic. Cams, yes. So, but no, Leo has a new hat here, and it says "Welcome Greenland," and I think it's
it's in the font of "Make America Great
it's a
Again."
MAGA hat,
I love it.
Red with the white make. Yes, so I thought that was funny. I'd be really curious to have you wear that around the Capitol.
I have not. Actually, it was somebody up in the Capitol that gave it to me, and I got a good word.
I imagine there would be much wailing and gnashing of teeth amongst your triggered folks across the aisle from you up there.
About as much as there was the day we ran the resolution for Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. Okay. That was not on my list.
I know that's not on your list.
Let's talk about that. Let's start with that because I heard about that, and I heard that in particular, our friend, what's his name, from East Wichita, who got in a fist fight last session. Who am I thinking of?
Carr?
Yes, Ford Carr.
Mr. Carr.
I hear he went down again and used the House Negro term and started railing against and calling Charlie Kirk a racist and other stuff. I hear that didn't go over well again.
Probably not. I was not there that day.
Really?
I was not there that day.
You missed that. So, yes, I hear the Charlie Kirk amendment. And all it did is a resolution naming freedom of speech.
On October 14th, it's just to recognize him and that's it.
But apparently it didn't go over well.
No, it did not go over well. And we've had people.
And it's just a resolution, so she can't veto it. She would if it was yes.
And we've had the wackos coming out of the woodwork, calling different ones of us and threatening and everything else.
Now, this is a resolution. It's not a law. So
that is correct.
It doesn't actually. It doesn't become a holiday or anything. It's just be it resolved at October 14th.
It's a resolution to recognize October 14th. End of subject.
Gotcha. Okay. But even that caused much wailing and gnashing of teeth amongst the lefties.
Yes, it did.
And from what I hear, it was like 2 or 3 hours of them just bitching and moaning and typical. Typical.
I think it's a little strategy I think they're using this year.
Oh, of course.
We've had a couple of days where they've gone on 5 to 6 hours.
Same stuff.
Same stuff.
Well, I know they did it on the tranny bill, on the bathroom bill.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that you guys were able to pass that with supermajorities in both chambers.
Right.
Laura Kelly, middle of the road, by the way, middle of the road, Laura Kelly, who is just she's moderate. She's moderate. If you didn't know that, she's moderate. Reached across the aisle, vetoed that on Friday.
She did.
And in her veto, she talked about being middle of the road and mainstream, even though this is an 80-20 issue. And apparently she, same person who said we should trust the science, vetoed the bathroom bill.
Well, if you want to trust the science, I don't want some 40, 50, 60-year-old guy in the bathroom with a a daughter or granddaughter.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah. I don't want some guy with his junk,
yeah,
standing at a, you know, in a lady's bathroom,
exactly,
peeing with my 14-year-old, you know, niece.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's
but
about.
That's Laura Kelly's definition of moderate and right. Middle of the road.
But of course we're bad people because we don't want that.
Of course not. Yeah. So, well, you know, so much for respecting women. Yeah.
And I actually had somebody stop in my office the other day just wanting me to stand up with Laura Kelly and help override or help to sustain that veto.
Well, you could stand up in the women's room like the other women do, apparently.
Yeah, not going to happen.
So, God, I'm going to get hate mail for that one.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
So, but both of them, both in both chambers, that thing passed. Speaking of things.
Yeah.
Pum. That passed with super majorities in both chambers. I'm assuming, I mean, I talked to Dan, and he said as soon as you've got everybody, because you're going to need all heads,
right?
That will be taken up in both chambers to override. My guess is it'll be overridden once you've got all noses that you can.
Yeah, you just have to make sure that it's a date when everybody's there, everybody's right. Showing up, because it, you know. Just like you're sitting here coughing, the same thing's going around.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I tell everybody I work in a Petri dish. Yeah. Every year it hits everybody. So.
And you've also got, you know, like Mark Schreiber, who's a quote unquote Republican, but he'll vote again. He voted against it both times. So he'll vote against, I'm assuming he'll vote against an override because that's what he does.
Yeah. Most likely.
He's a rhino. But so you've got to make sure everybody's there. So assuming we get that done. So we've done that topic. Let's see. Let me look at my little notes here, see what else we've got in my little topic list here.
What do you got in your topic list?
So you have a few days away from turnaround. That's the halfway point. That's the deadline.
I don't know where the time went.
But yeah.
We are.
This
Monday,
this train,
as
baby.
In tomorrow, is the last day for the committees to meet.
Yeah. And so if folks who don't understand what turnaround is, it's the halfway point. That's the deadline where most bills have to be out of the chamber of origin. So House bills have to be out of the House. Senate bills have to be out of the Senate in order to continue the process. So that's coming up tomorrow, basically.
It is.
So, and you guys are, this is another thing I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. It's President's Day. Dan and Ty don't care. You guys are back in tomorrow.
We're back in there.
Yeah, there ain't no holiday for you folks.
and anybody with individual budgets, they're having to be hitting the Appropriations Committee now.
Wow. I mean, you guys are moving.
Happening really quick, right?
So speaking of budgets, the House on Thursday kicked off debate on a bill intended to keep down property taxes. I'm sure we'll talk with Dave Traubert about that, kicking off the here in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately ran into fierce opposition from cities because they would be required to hold an election if they want to grow their property tax collections. Now, this is basically like a form of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, isn't it?
And I believe you're talking about House Bill 2396.
Yeah, I think so. And this is something, I mean, Carpenter and I have pushed this. I mean, I started this kind of concept, a Tabor, basically, back when I came in as a freshman.
Sure.
It's essentially a Taxpayer Bill of Rights. If you want to raise any kind of tax, you got to go to the people.
Correct.
Why are cities and counties pushing back on this?
Because I think we're encroaching, we're stepping on toes.
Tough tittles.
We are stepping
on toes.
And I tell you what, it took me years to start understanding the property tax in general. Because everybody out there is always complaining, oh my God, my valuation's increased. What are you going to do about this?
Well, not much you can, but.
I'll tell you what, John, I'll run a bill tomorrow. I'm going to cut your house valuations in half.
Okay? Only great if I don't want to sell it.
No, think about this. We're going to cut them down in half. Well, that's the other part. When you do sell it, now it's showing a lower valuation.
Right, but.
But if I do that and the cities, counties, et cetera, crank up their mill levies, have I really accomplished anything?
No, exactly.
It starts with the budgets of the cities and the counties
and
everything. And then it's a reverse calculation looking at here's our mill levy. Well, really, here's the valuations. Then we adjust the mill levies accordingly. So it's got to start with the budgets.
Yep.
Now, I will say this. I've said this publicly before. When you look at on mine, it shows up page 2 of my property tax papers. And it lists out how much the property tax is for the city, for the county. And really, I really cannot complain about the price of the county or the city.
I'd like to.
Yeah, but
they're not
the big culprit.
The culprit is the school district.
Yes. Yeah. When you look at the line three and three, four, five, six, seven, eight, it's all USD, blah, 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 whatever it is.
Yep.
And in my case, USD 266, I take my city and my county, combine that, and then triple it. And there's my school district.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I live out in the Goddard School District, and yes, it went up 18% 2 years
ago. Well, they had a bond not too long ago. If that thing would have went through, if it would have went through, though, it was $120 property tax increase per 100,000 valuation of a person's property.
Yeah, oh, I know. I'm aware.
It was huge dollars.
That's why we killed it.
But here's the other part. People complain to me at the state of, why is my property tax so high? And yet they go out and vote yes for the kids.
Right.
Why did you do that? Yeah. Or for the other, even worse, gee, I just don't vote in that anymore. Well, I tell you what, while you don't vote, Democrats and teachers and everybody else does come out and vote.
Well, this is also why we need to move these elections, get rid of these special elections in March.
Part,
get
yes.
rid of them. And you, the only time you get a special election is for an emergency.
Yes.
Other than that, you do them in August or you do them in November, period.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what the city of Wichita is doing right now. The only reason they're doing this in March is because they're hoping for a diminished electorate.
No, that's true. Yeah.
We're talking with Leo Delperdang from, let's see, actually
94 is the district.
I was going to say House District 94. Let's go ahead and do our break here so we don't, so we get it in. You mind sticking through the break?
Sure.
We'll take a quick break. We're doing our Under the Dome update with State Representative Leo Delperdang. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Don't forget, there are 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, that currently pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Kansans deserve a voice in judicial selection. That's why you'll have a chance to vote on that this August. Voters, not lawyers, should decide if you agree or want more information. Visit TakeBackTheBench.com for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget as well, our live remote coming up not this week, but next week on March 1st, we'll be broadcasting live from the local offices of Americans for Prosperity. Thanks to our friends at Save Taxpayers Vote No. Hope you'll tune in and join us there. If you're not going to be able to join us in person, doors will open at 6. There's information available on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. With us still is Leo Delperdang, state representative from District 94, with our Under the Dome update. So, Leo, one of the other things that came up this week, the House on Thursday, you guys are going to be busy Thursday. You also approved a bill requiring Kansas driver's licenses to show citizenship status.
Right.
Another thing that I'm sure Laura Kelly will veto, and the left must have hated. This must have been another of your hours long bitch fest from
you
the
must
left.
Have been there, John.
No, but I've been there before, yeah. So I know what happens.
Specifically, though, for those listening, it was House Bill 2488.
2488.
Follow it along if you want.
A measure supports the supporters say it was defense against voter fraud. The opponents, I can only imagine what they went off on that one. I mean, it seems common sense to me. Citizenship status.
Yeah, it truly is.
And it doesn't deny someone who's not a citizen from getting a driver's
license. But if you have the citizenship status, if you can show an ID that has that to the poor poll worker there who's got probably minimum training, they're there part-time, they're working the poll, to be able to show them that before they hand you the ballot, it kind of takes them out of it, too.
Sure.
Which is good.
I mean, it's just another way of proving your citizenship. I mean, I don't know. It seems common sense to me, but you know the left.
But I had to be educated on that myself. I always thought the real ID took care of this stuff. But it does not.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
One of the other things that came up this week was, I know there was a big kind of kerfuffle on in-state tuition for illegals. That came up this week.
Okay.
Because it was in a bill, but I know there were no votes on this, but there were some issues about the fact that illegals still get in-state tuition. But this isn't law yet. It's not settled.
No, it is
not. It still goes over to the Senate. The Senate can you walk me through that?
I'd like to talk about that a little bit. First off, it's a Senate bill, Senate Bill 254. And the House passed the really the clean bill. It went over to the House, and an amendment popped on there that it added in-state tuition, which apparently is currently
Sam Brownback today. First put that on there. I know. Trust me, I hated it.
But it had some stipulations. It was in-state tuition for illegals who are going to college, provided they completed at least 3 years high school.
They had to complete, and back in the day, that's the way Sam did it, too, and I hated it. I voted against
it. But here's the kicker. That was a got you bill all the way, and we've had more people reaching out and saying, why did you vote for that bill? Well, John, let me read the header to everybody here of what the underlying bill, House Bill 254, does. And it's just a couple of sentences here. So it prohibits aliens who are unlawfully present in the United States from receiving any state or local public benefits in accordance with applicable federal laws.
So if you voted against it, you'd be...
against that says, hey, give them all the benefits.
Give them all the benefits, right.
So that's, John, as a conservative ex-rep, what would you have voted on that thing? We had no choice.
I'd have tried to strip the licenses out but keep everything else.
Yeah, but we had no choice. But I will say, going into this, as it was debated on the floor, we knew it's going to go to a conference committee with the Senate.
They can strip
it out. They can take it out. But there was no way I was going to vote no.
To give them benefits.
To give them all the benefits back. Yes.
Right. Yeah, no.
It would not have been the right thing to do. We had
And that's
to
why they
the
call
vote.
It sausage making.
Yes.
Yeah. But people don't understand. So the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, my God, they give in-state tuitions to illegals. Mm-hmm. You got to understand this is a whole process.
It's a whole process.
Now, if it comes back and it's still in there, well, then you got to see what – then maybe difficult.
But if it comes back and it's in there, it'll probably get lopped into another bill and we can deal with it at that point.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. So, well, and that's why I tell folks, wait till you see the end.
Yes.
You know, you can't get – this is why I tell – it's a process. It's all – Wait till the final bill comes out before you hold your powder. Basically.
And it is a long learning process when you first go up there.
Leo, we're down to my last minute here. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to reach out, what's the best way to do it?
DelperDangForKansas.com is my website.
Okay. We've had good weather. You know what that means.
Oh, I know.
We need another cigar night, buddy. We need another fire pit.
We will make that happen.
All right. So. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back... Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will break down the Super Bowl halftime featuring Bad Bunny and the cultural debate surrounding it. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting 39179 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. My next guest follows me on X to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Super Bowl, one of the last remaining parts of American culture that all Americans, regardless of their political beliefs, can share and enjoy. But sadly, the NFL and CBS seem eager to end that. It's because they keep running these woke, worthless halftime shows. With us now to break down the Super Bowl halftime show featuring Bad Bugs and the cultural debate surrounding the performance and the related media hype is my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Curtis, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, good to be with you again, my friend.
So, all right. Now, full disclosure, I watched like 45 seconds while I was switching over to Apple TV or YouTube TV, rather, so I could get the Turning Points USA thing on. So I didn't watch any of the Bad Bunny. I've seen a little bit of the Fox News and your coverage of it, but I didn't really watch any of it. I did see Pedro Pascal standing in the background on one of the Twitter shots. But other than that, I really can't talk, much about the coverage. But mainstream media hype and the late night hosts just framed this thing as, was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I watched it because, I kind of got to do that sort of thing for a living.
Yeah, you're paid to.
I'm paid to do it. It's a pretty nice gig. But it was fine. I mean, it's not that special. That's the thing about it that really irks me, in addition to the wokeness and the political undertones, like just as a production value. Like, I know someone who was actually there because she's like a sports agent. And she said, you know, normally I'm not paying attention or whatever because I'm talking to clients or whatever. But like people just, it was hard to like watch because like if you've seen videos from the Super Bowl, like it was a TV event, you know, whereas before you look at somebody like, I don't know, Prince a few years ago.
Yeah.
In a rainstorm in Miami during Purple Rain. Yes, it was a TV production, but it was also like, the crowd and the stadium itself is part of the experience.
Yeah, they were into that.
Yeah, people, it's an entire thing, whereas you look at Bad Bunny and, like, the trees and everything and the little houses that they put up made it, you know, kind of insulated, like, where the people there couldn't really see what was going on the whole time. And I just feel like, just aesthetically, that's, you know, bad move number one. And then you get into the undertones. My colleague, Jorge Bonilla, has written over at FoxNews.com, you know, there were two things going on here. He was trying to paint Puerto Rico as kind of this oppressed area that, you know, they kind of should be their own thing. He's been really on that side of Puerto Rican independence. Well, actually, John, they polled this. They asked voters in Puerto Rico this in 2024. Like, do you want to think about becoming your own country? And I believe it was something like only 13% said yes.
Well, yeah, go ahead. I mean,
yeah. And then the other thing,
you want to be a third world country, in other words.
Yeah, and God Bless America is the other one, you know, that I think a lot of folks more popped up, which is trying to reframe this idea that, you know, let's not think of God Bless America as God Bless the USA. We think of God Bless America. Let's now think of everybody in Central, North, you know, Latin America. And you have all these people that I know on CBS and other places saying like, oh, I know someone who's like family is from here and like, you know, they heard him say their country and the flag come out and, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, this is where we're going, like, the way of Europe in terms of our cultural cohesion.
Yeah, that's no, it doesn't work that way.
The U.S. soccer team, that's why, you know, U.S. men's and women's soccer teams, a lot of the times they have to play games in, like, Columbus, Ohio or Cincinnati or Minneapolis in, like, November. Because if they go anywhere else, they're going to get outnumbered.
Well, you know, some of the things I noticed, I did see some footage of the fans during his performance. They seemed bored to no end. I was like, most of them were, you know, all the talk about you don't have to speak the language because he, you know, won't record songs in English and he refused to perform any of it in English. It seemed like the fans were bored to death. And he also said you don't have to speak Spanish to enjoy it because you can dance. I did not see hardly anybody in the stands dancing.
Right. Yeah. That's why it didn't really go. It didn't really make any sense. And so, you know, and we also learned, John, most importantly, this was a complete oversight on my part. We learned that the left is kind of racist, you know, because they thought that the little boy he handed the Grammy to was the kid from Minneapolis.
Right. Yes. Yeah, the one that was abandoned by his illegal father.
Yeah, they all look the same. Yeah.
The other thing I thought, you know, that they didn't talk about, one of the things I thought was most interesting here, because, you know, they talk about that he was such a uniter, that Bad Bunny was going to unite us all and we were all bring people together. You know, nothing says bringing people together like putting a guy out there who basically hates the 77 million Americans that voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's such an own goal. I mean, there could have been any number of people that could have done it. I mean, why didn't they do like Morgan Wallen or something like that, you know?
Right, or Jelly Roll or somebody, you know what I mean?
Jelly Roll.
What a message he could have brought considering his upbringing and his background. Instead, you bring a guy out there who refused to speak the language, refuses to even perform in the U.S., used his Grammy Awards, you know, spiel to declare ICE out and basically hates half the country.
Well, I should also just add, too, that his record company is attached to a guy who was kind of unofficial, official friend, influencer in the Hugo Chavez regime way back when.
I forgot about that. That's
of course.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, he's got all the right people as in all the bad people on his team. I mean, it's just such an own goal. And the thing about Turning Point, I just have to say, though, too, not to leave them out, it was good, but just imagine, like, if Turning Point had a year to, like, work on this.
Yeah.
You know? What they pulled off was something they kind of just, they thought about, but they didn't really start really nailing down until, you know, the last couple months.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing, I don't know. I just think the whole thing is, it's really interesting. But this is, once again, how the left covers these things. You know what I mean? It's the way they choose. Right. Yes. Yes. It's because they love it. And now, of course, the big hype is that next year it needs to be Taylor Swift. And I apparently they've forgotten the fact that she's sworn not to perform in the U.S. as long as Donald Trump is president. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, well, at this point, I think like T Swift would actually be better, you know, than Bad Bunny, because she at least performs in America, you know, like, and say what you want about her, but she's originally from my neck of the woods of Central Pennsylvania. So,
yeah, you know, I don't want to go into her. People. I can't stand her. So
there's so many more people that you could have done, I think Roger Goodell just got owned on this one. Like, he just got completely swindled. Jay-Z just foisted this upon us, and all around it was just a crappy game,
yes.
Crappy halftime show, and the thing, it just didn't jive with the ads, because the ads in the Super Bowl were nostalgic.
Yes,
a lot of them were throwbacks. A lot of them were kind of positive messaging, kind of unifying, not really super political. You know, the Budweiser ad, you know, the Ring camera ad about finding the lost dog and working together, Rocket Mortgage talking about the American dream. I mean, corporate America in those ads, they got the picture.
Right. Well, you the know, best ad was the one that aired immediately after the Bad Bunny concert, which was the ICE ad. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. It was perfect timing.
But like, yeah, that they got it. That, like, that corporate America, that they, you know, knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you look at what was going on with, you know, Bad Bunny and just the on-field product.
Yeah.
The game is just not that great either. So,
Curtis, I appreciate you as always, brother. If folks want to connect with you, obviously, and they want to connect with the folks at Newsbusters, they can find you on X at Curtis Houck. It's H-O-U-C-K, and Newsbusters is at Newsbusters. And you're always, it's always a great to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, talk soon, guys. Download our Newsbusters app on Apple and Google Play.
Thank you, brother. Good to have you with us, as always. Enjoy your President's Day holiday, my friend.
Lack thereof.
Yeah. That's true. You got to work. Thanks again, brother.
Thanks.
Coming up, Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will explain why he says some are using scare tactics and false claims to oppose the Senate's 3% property tax assessment limit. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
She loves it hot. He loves it cold. However you sleep, the pod by 8 Sleep adapts to you. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir.
Here-eth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Tell you about the next day of action with the great folks at Americans for Prosperity. It's coming up this Saturday, the 21st. It's a great way to help mobilize grassroots activists for legislative advocacy, door knocking, and phone banking here in Wichita, and for that matter, all across Kansas. For more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on your on the show. So if you notice, there was neutral. Yeah, neutral. Sure. Neutral testimony from the Kansas Association of Counties on the proposed 3% valuation assessment that was submitted in the Senate recently on the property cap that the Senate is working on, a property tax cap, and notes that predictably could also help counties by having fewer disputes over valuations. Sedgwick County commissioners, on the other hand, were basically taking, according to the folks at the Kansas Policy Institute, they're claiming that the county commission is essentially taking a sky is falling approach and that they are using scare tactics to try and kill the 3% valuation assessment. Well, why are they taking that approach? Let's ask Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. Dave, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here.
So, you know, I'm not a tax fan. I've been make no bones about the fact right now I'm in the process of trying to kill sales tax here in Wichita. I know what I've talked. Dan Hawkins and I've gone round and round on the, he's not a big fan of the 3% cap. I like it at least in theory, because I like the idea of putting some constraints, and I know that there are issues, and you know, Jeff Blubaugh was on the morning show with us last week, and you know, he uses the argument that, well, then that means that they'll always raise your property taxes by 3%. What if your valuation comes in below that? And of course, my thought to that is they've never come in below 3% ever. But I think the issue that I see with this whole thing is the problem that the counties have, in my opinion, and cities for that matter too, is they don't constrain their spending. And if they would ever do that, they wouldn't have to have these valuation caps. But we've got to start somewhere. I guess I'd like to start with this. Isn't this really more of a spending issue than anything else? And since they're not willing to get their spending under control, we've got to put some kind of cap here at some point. Don't we have to do something? Doesn't the legislature have to do something?
Well, absolutely, and I think if the legislature doesn't do something really big, there's going to be some different faces going to Topeka next year, because taxpayers are fed up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
With politicians in both parties saying, we are going to do this, we must do this, and then they don't. I mean, both parties. We've got the Democrats out there. They made a statement in the media last week saying that we're here to help. And in the next, and they're not, in the next breath, it's like they hope, they really want the plan to fail, because then they say if it fails, then we can run on it and say, and pick up more seats. This is political. You've been there, John, you know how, I mean, it's nonsense why they're doing. I mean, this is a, first and foremost, it is an affordability issue. I know there are some people who say there's nothing wrong with the assessment system. Probably half of Kansans would disagree with that. And in fact, the Board of Tax Appeals kind of disagrees with that. But let's say there's nothing wrong with it. It's still an affordability issue. If you get a 20% increase in your home value, even if it's accurate, it doesn't mean you can afford it. And we have people literally being taxed out of their homes by these unaffordable increases. So if you put a 3% limit on the taxable assessed value, not the appraised, there's no change in that. Put a 3% limit on the taxable assessed valuation increase, that pretty much ensures that whatever the increase you get is going to be affordable. We have to focus on what's best for taxpayers first. I know that's kind of a novel concept sometimes in Topeka, but that's what the focus needs to be here. Taxpayers first.
Yeah, I mean, I know mine. Last year it wasn't as bad. Last year was only 9%, but the year before that it was 18%. The year before that it was 14%. So, and again, all I've done, and I point this out on the show, all I've done in that 3-year period of time is mow the lawn. We've literally made no improvements to the house, and yet we keep seeing these mm-hmm. kinds of improvements. And, you know, one of the things that I know, and I, by the way, if you folks want to see the article, they can find it at kansaspolicy.org/Sedgwick Assessment Limit Scare Tactics. You've got a Sedgwick County property tax increase. You've got it over the last 2 decades that you've gone over this survey. But if you look at tax and revenue versus inflation, inflation's gone up 85% since 1997. But tax revenue has gone up 181%. So, you know, why are revenues, they're exceeding population, they're exceeding the mill rates stayed flat. Actually, it's gone down 3%. But population, it's exceeding inflation, and the tax revenue has gone up over 100% more than inflation. That tells me that this is a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
Well, you're right, John. It is a spending problem. And I know that a lot of people in city and county and school government probably really believe that they're operating as efficiently as they can, but they've never been put through an honest-to-goodness efficiency evaluation like most businesses go through on a routine basis. So I'm looking here at the Sedgwick County long-term financial forecast. And because one of the things that they said was, well, if we have to, if we get this, we're going to have to raise mill rates in order to maintain current services. Well, you look out at their own forecast, they're projecting a 50% increase in property tax revenue over the actual amount for 2022.
Was that the county? Was that Sedgwick County?
That is just Sedgwick County.
But Dave, I'll give you an example. Last year, they spent $10 million on a new elephant barn. That's not an essential service. You didn't have to at the zoo. You did not have to spend $10 million on an elephant barn.
There's so many examples like that. Here's a 55% increase in pay and benefits for county employees in the next few years. Again, that might be nice if you're a county employee to get that, but you're asking everybody else to pay for it. And here's the kicker. They're saying they would have to do this to keep up services, and they're not even spending all the money they get because their ending fund balance goes from, and this is completely unnecessary, $110 million to $127 million over the next few years. And yet, boy, if we don't get what we want, then we're going to have to sock it to you or cut services. It doesn't have to be that way. I know that's what they're saying. They've tried to make the claim even that an assessment limit is unconstitutional. Well, as the law is written today, yes, but that's why this is a constitutional amendment. The legislation is designed to allow this to happen. You can't go out and claim, oh, you can't do it, it's unconstitutional, when in fact you are amending the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah. That's nothing but a scare tactic.
Yeah. Well, and again, what this comes down to is people are being taxed out of their homes. And for me, that has to be the solution. And if government, look, people learn to live within their means. Government needs to learn with it to live within its means. And the city does. And again, I know you were absolutely right. City and the county are not the major culprits here. The school districts are. And I know the minute you say that, they say you hate kids, you hate teachers, you're mean, you want to throw grandma off the cliff. But we got to start somewhere. We absolutely have to start at the schools. We'll deal with that too. But it all of these entities have to learn to do this. And maybe it starts with capping. I think the other thing it has to start with is a taxpayer bill of rights, which means anytime you raise property taxes, it has to go to the vote of the people, which I hate that idea too. But Dave, if folks want to connect with you, actually, sorry, go ahead.
Couple things. There actually is a bill in the House.
I'm aware, yes.
That is not taxpayer bill of rights, but it does have a voter approval concept, which we need in addition to the assessment limit. It really is. It's at least as much, if not a little bit more, of a problem with city and county government than it is schools. In Sedgwick County, yes, it's a little bit different story, but statewide, schools only take up 45% of the property tax. And that's community colleges included. It's all the other local forms of government that eat up 55%. The state doesn't take any property tax for operation of state services.
Yeah.
Whether you think we need to revamp the whole system and come up with something new, you know as well as I do, John, that would take years if you could get it done. People are being taxed out of their homes today. They need help now.
No, you're absolutely right, Dave. I appreciate you, my friend, as always. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you at kansaspolicy.org, right?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you as always, my friend. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Thanks, John. Anytime.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then our old friend Mark Meckler from the Convention of States will be with us. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, you can always listen to us on the iHeart, Odyssey, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, back in January, the Kansas legislature passed a resolution calling for an Article 5 Convention of States to propose amendments focused on congressional term limits becoming a key state in the long-stalled initiative. The House passed the measure with an 80-42 vote following a court ruling that only a simple majority was required. This has been lingering for years, by the way. To give you perspective on this, I voted for this when I was in the legislature, and we've been trying and trying and trying for years to get this passed. With us now is Mark Meckler. He is the co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots and co-founder and president of Convention of States Action. Mark, it's nice to have you back on the show again, and congratulations for helping Kansas become the 20th state to finally pass the 16th state to call for a constitutional convention on congressional term limits, and the 20th to pass the other. So appreciate your efforts, brother. Nice to have you back on the show.
Oh, it's great to be with you, and thanks for your longtime support on this issue.
Yeah, you know, because we had this archaic rule that we had to have a supermajority, and, I mean, when we first tried it back, I mean, I was a freshman back in 2015 when we tried it, and, you know, it failed by one vote because we had a rhino in the House, and we couldn't get it through. I mean, it was just so difficult and convoluted, and they didn't understand it, and they were all afraid of, you know, runaway conventions and all that malarkey. And it was just so difficult. And of course, then you guys were able to win it in the courts to finally get a judge to actually pull his head out of his, you know, nether regions. but now you, so you finally, you've actually got it done twice, right? We've got two, as I understand it, they've done it twice now, correct?
Well, I mean, in Kansas, so there's two different things that have passed.
That's what I
one
thought.
Is, yep. So one is a resolution calling for a convention just on the idea of term limits for members of Congress.
Right.
And then the second one, the one that I'm involved in, is a resolution that calls for potentially term limits on members of Congress. And I think much more importantly, term limits on staffers and bureaucrats as well, what you and I now know as the deep state. I actually don't like the idea of term limits on members of Congress alone, because what happens is the staff and the bureaucracy becomes much more powerful, and the people have obviously no chance to call those people out of office to unelect them.
Have they ever, because back when I started, there was also the notion of doing a balanced budget. Has that come back into it as well? I know that there was a lot of talk originally on that element, too.
Yeah, well, our resolution has three parts, actually, and this is why I think it's the most important one in the country, and now 20 states have passed it. So it has the term limits part, which, by the way, also could include term limits on the federal judiciary, which I think is also important. Second is anything that would impose fiscal restraint. So that would include a balanced budget. It would include tax caps, spending caps, anything that would force the federal government to get their fiscal house in order. And then the third leg is anything that would take power away from the federal government. In other words, you could say to the federal government, like it should have always been, you can't be involved in energy, you can't be involved in education, you can't be involved in healthcare, and many other things. These alphabet soup of agencies are not authorized anywhere in the Constitution. In my opinion, they're actually, the vast majority of them are unconstitutional. And so this convention will have the authority to discuss removing any of those powers from the purview of the federal government.
You know, this is, it's really, it's another one of these 80-20 issues. I know polling in Kansas has it about 80% support. National yep. polling has this at about 87%. But there are, you know, some folks who, you know, are worried about notions like a runaway convention. They're afraid that if this were to happen, that the delegates could then go and repeal the Second Amendment or do, you know, crazy things like that. What do you say to folks? Again, keep in mind, Mark Levin is behind the, you know, supportive of this. People right of me. And yes, there are people right of me, by the way. But so, you know, what do you say to people who are, and I think that's just because they're not well informed, but what do you say to people who are concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would take it one step further. They've been misinformed, and
that's
I understand
a good way to put
why.
It.
Yeah, and so the reason that they believe this is many, many years ago, by the way, around the same time that Kansas put this two-thirds requirement in the Constitution, little sidebar there, that was put in your Constitution to protect Roe versus Wade. So it was put in 74, 73 is Roe versus Wade, and somebody slips into a constitutional amendment package the idea that the state can't call for a convention of states without a two-thirds majority. That's the case that we just overruled that. That's an unconstitutional restriction on the exercise of a federal power. And so at that same time, you have a bunch of states are passing these resolutions to call a convention to overturn Roe versus Wade. And unfortunately, what happened is a wonderful woman by the name of Phyllis Schlafly, the founder of Eagle Forum, became friends with Chief Justice Warren Burger. He's the guy that gave us Roe versus Wade. So it's kind of an odd friendship. But they worked together on the Bicentennial Commission for the Constitution. And she asks Chief Justice Burger in a now infamous letter, what do you think about the idea of a convention? Well, he was worried about a convention to overturn Roe versus Wade. So he writes back to her and says, well, you got to worry about that because there could be a runaway convention and we could lose our Constitution. He was just protecting Roe versus Wade. Unfortunately, she believed him. She told this to a bunch of conservatives. That started to make the rounds. So the people who believe in this idea of a runaway convention, they don't know it usually, but they got that from the guy that gave us Roe versus Wade. And you don't have to believe me on that. You can go to Common Cause's website today. That's George Soros's policy organization.
Yep.
You'll find dozens and dozens of pages that are against this idea of calling a convention of states. Over 250 leftist organizations have signed a press release against this. And it includes Planned Parenthood, La Raza, MoveOn.org, Daily Cause, It's every baby-killing, America-hating commie organization in the country is against this. So for conservatives that find themselves against this, one, just understand where that argument came from. And then let's flip to the very end of the argument, which is, even if it were true that there could be a runaway convention, and I can tell you dozens of reasons that can't happen, it takes 38 states to ratify anything that comes out of convention. And that's a super, super majority. And I've made this offer. I'll make it here. I've made it to millions of people on Levin's show and Ben Shapiro's show and all these big shows. My personal email address is mmeckler@cosaction.com. If somebody's worried about a particular amendment, they're a conservative like you and me, they should tell me what amendment that is, email it to me, with a list of the 38 states that they think will ratify it.
Right, exactly.
And I've made that offer to literally millions of people. I've never gotten an email because you can't do it. You mentioned the Second Amendment. There are 29 states with constitutional permitless carry. There are 24 states where you can carry your handgun in the state legislature. I've done it in most of them. There are 14 states where you can load an AR, sling it across your back, and sit in the gallery and watch the proceedings. There's no way you're going to get 38 states to ratify the repeal or even the limitation on a Second Amendment.
Right. Thank you. I mean, that is... But that is the biggest fear. In fact, one of the guys I served with sat a row back and a row behind me and to my left. One of the biggest Second Amendment advocates owns a hunting ranch. And that was his worry. And I kept telling, I tried to explain to him, you just did a perfect job of it. I tried to explain to him how ludicrous that notion was. Wouldn't believe it, voted against the convention of states because of that.
And we go, like, we have a booth at the NRA convention. We have a booth at the Gun Owners of America convention. Chuck Cooper, who used to be the lead litigator for the NRA, serves on our legal advisory board. Like, nobody that loves firearms and knows the law around firearms is worried about the idea of a convention of states. To the contrary, one of the things that they should be worried about, if you love the Second Amendment like I do and believe that it's fundamental to our freedoms, you should be worried about the Supreme Court. And why you should worry about it is the left has told us the next time they have the House, Senate, and the presidency, they will expand the Supreme Court and they will pack it and they will take away our guns.
Yeah, exactly.
So another thing, John, we can do in this convention is we can propose an amendment to limit the Supreme Court to 9 and prevent that from happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Expanding the court, those are the things you should be worried about. A COS, not something that you should be worried about. It's been a while since this has gained momentum. I mean, we've still got ways to go to get to 34. Where do we stand? I mean, where does it stand now? What's the work that's ongoing? And I mean, where do we stand?
So we've passed 20 states so far, Kansas being the most recent. Last week we passed the Wyoming Senate. They're in a budget session. It takes a 2/3 vote just to authorize debate on the floor. We passed that 2/3 vote, no problem. We expect to pass the Wyoming Senate with flying colors, so that's great. We came out of a committee in Iowa, the subcommittee. We came out 2-1 in the subcommittee. We expect a 5-0 vote in the full committee in Iowa, so we'll be headed to the floor in Iowa. North Carolina, we've already passed the House. We're waiting to go to work in the Senate this year. They'll go into session later this year. So it's actually going to be a pretty big year, I think, for Convention of States. There's a lot of momentum. The president has already tweeted positively about Convention of States this year. Obviously, that's a big deal, and I expect to hear a lot more from him soon on this subject.
Well, Mark, I appreciate your time. Congrats again. I mean, we've been working on this for, going on, almost a decade here in Kansas or longer. Again, if folks are interested,
longer.
It has been longer. Just a long, that's my time on the project. So I appreciate you as always. If folks want information, they can visit conventionofstates.com, correct?
That's perfect, and they can follow me on Twitter at Mark Meckler.
Brother, I appreciate you as always, and carry on the good work, my friend.
John, thanks for your longtime support. God bless.
Appreciate you, brother. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to tell you about the next day of action with the great folks at Americans for Prosperity coming up this Saturday, the 21st. It's a great way to help mobilize grassroots activists for legislative advocacy, door knocking, and phone banking here in Wichita and all across Kansas for that matter. If you want to get involved, if you want to help make your voice heard, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and get more information. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. Don't forget, also coming up on March 1st, our live first live broadcast of the year down at AFP's headquarters, brought to you by the good folks at Save Wichita Vote No. Well, that'll, again, information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Todd, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to know about this city sales tax we're voting on. Hopefully we do vote it down. But if we do vote it down, are they going to find another backdoor way to tax us anyway, like raise a property tax or mill levy or something?
Well, I mean, yeah, they can try. I've also heard from a couple of members of the city council that you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they just turn around and try and pass another one, try and put another one out there. Here's really what it's going to come down to. They're going to have one of two options. Well, three options. They have three options. This passes, and then they just do it, which it's not going to pass. I'll tell you right now, I will bet a week's pay this doesn't pass. Option two is they have to do what the rest of us would do. Cut spending, live within their means. They're not going to want to do that. And then I mean, that's just, they don't want to do that. I think there's some that would. I know the mayor would. I think, you know, Dalton has traditionally been fiscally responsible. The third option is try what you're talking about and find another tax. Maybe they go smaller. Maybe they trim some of the wish lists. I mean, this thing is loaded up. This thing is Christmas treed up. Maybe they come back with a second option that's got smaller, few less of the gimmicks in it, and come back at a 50%, you know, $400 million or something like that. I could see them try something like that.
Maybe they could let us vote on each one individually instead of having just one big, huge package.
That's been suggested. One at a time would be another option. You know, okay, we're going to do $100 million for the Performing Arts Center for 1 year. Because that, you know, like Interest Bank was. Or we're going to do, you know, the homeless thing for... Now, the problem is a lot of those would fail. And that's their problem, is that that's why you bundle things together. I was in the legislature for 4 years. I know what bundling is. It's how you get people to vote for stuff they don't like.
Some of them should fail, but you brought up Interest Bank Arena. I heard they were going to that the county was going to try to raise a tax to help fund some maintenance or building issues.
And they will. When this fails, the county will immediately run theirs. Now the county tax is just to do the maintenance on Interest Bank Arena. So Todd, I appreciate the call. That music indicates we're running late. Ray, I appreciate, you know, what was Ray's question real quick, Phil?
Basically the same thing. It was property tax should be done on a separate ballot.
Yeah.
And on the November ballot.
Oh, all of this should be. I think we need to do away with these spring elections. I've always felt that the legislature needs to kill that stuff. You know, we'll see. But folks, tune in next week. We'll have a great show for you. In the meantime, carry on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're a few weeks into the new year, and I want to check in. How are those lifestyle resets going? Maybe you're tightening up your exercise routine, finally learning that new skill, or attempting to eat a bit healthier. We all know that starting the year strong is a lot easier and much more delicious when you have the right fuel. That's where Omaha Steaks come in. Stay satisfied, keep your energy up, and fuel your daily routine with premium portion proteins delivered right to your door. Omaha Steaks have been America's original butcher since 1917. We're talking about five generations of uncompromising quality, backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Their variety is unmatched. From handcrafted USDA-certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, seafood, and versatile chicken, every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code T-Bone at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code T-Bone. Terms apply. See site for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.